Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 64 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The state allows a different kind of valuation for farms.
New tax bills will need to be issued to some Moorhead residents.
The Attorney General's office has taken 174 election calls.
The race for Moorhead City Council has already been decided.
Brown County Senior High School opens Dracula this week.
A circuit judge has responded to ethic violation allegations.
In sports, Moorhead State basketball opens regular season action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 40 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Attorney General's Election Day hotline had taken 174 election calls as of 1:40 p.m. this afternoon. Several are in the WMKY listening area. In Carter County, one call reporting a pre-election day complaint was filed for a special or absentee ballot. Floyd County residents reported one residency and one special or absentee ballot question and one uncategorized complaint. In McGoffin County, two complaints of bribery and one each for electioneering ballot question and special or absentee ballot have been filed. A legal question was filed in Montgomery County and one uncategorized complaint. And here in Rowan County, one campaign violation and one general election complaint has been filed. A media complaint was also filed today by WMKY when a poll worker threatened to kick a reporter out of the conference center for taking photographs. That photo can be found on our website at WMKY.org. Brashear's office says residents who witness an election irregularity or possible violation should call 800-328-8683.
The city of Moorhead will have to reissue some property tax bills this year. According to the county property valuation administrator, 46 property owners received bills in 2017 and again this year in which property was taxed against the fair cash value instead of the taxable assessment. PVA Carmen Swim said a property owner alerted her to the mistake over the weekend.
We planned a meeting for Monday to discuss this in conjunction with the Moorhead City Clerk. So I was able to visit, have an informal meeting, and just discuss to confirm first that that indeed is what had happened and just discuss how it would be corrected on their end.
Swim says the incorrect bills were issued to property owners who own farm property, which is taxed differently.
The polls are open until 6 p.m., but one race in the city of Moorhead has already been decided. Only six individuals were on the ballot for Moorhead City Council, which means the next council will consist of Mike Cash, Melissa Patrick, Tom Carew, Glenn Teeger, Beth Ousley, and former Mayor David Perkins. Perkins says he wanted to return to public service and decided to run for the office.
Having been both council member and mayor before, I have some understanding of how both sides of that work. I'm just hoping to benefit the citizens of this community.
Longtime council members Carolyn Franzini and Jan Bishop chose not to run for re-election this year. The new members of the council will take office on January 1st.
Heading to the polls, make sure to remember the Election Day do's and don'ts. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
To ensure Election Day runs smoothly, Kentucky election officials are reminding everyone to verify your voter registration status before you vote. You can do that by going to govoteky.com. Then make sure you know your correct polling location and the most convenient times to vote. Remember to bring appropriate identification as well. That could be your driver's license, social security card, or credit card. And finally, if you are planning on taking a ballot selfie, make sure your picture doesn't show any other voters. I'm Haley Hansen.
Moorhead State University and the Rowan County School District will be hosting a Veterans Day luncheon on Friday at the Academic Athletic Center. The event honors those who have served in the armed forces, and that includes veteran staff, faculty, student veterans, veterans at large, and Gold Star moms. Director of Military Initiatives, David Literal, says this town does a great job when it comes to supporting veterans.
especially the Round County Veterans Foundation and the American Legion here in Moorhead area. We partner with them on several events throughout the year. So I think that there's a fair amount of support throughout the community.
The lunch will take place from 11:30 to 12:30. It's open to the public, and all participants must dress business casual. Musical performance will be done by the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music.
The Community Hospice Center in Ashland is hosting a Veterans Day ceremony Friday. The Hospice Center will be honoring patients, volunteers, or other members of the community who are military veterans. Susan Hunt is the Executive Director of Community Hospice.
We just take a few minutes, about 15 minutes, to recognize any veterans that are attending, any of our patients or volunteers that have been veterans or staff members. You know, it's just an opportunity for us to say thank you to the veterans.
Ashland's city manager will be in attendance as the speaker for the ceremony. It will be held in the garden area outside of the hospice center at 11 a.m. It is located at 2330 Pollard Road in Ashland. A reception will take place inside the building immediately following the ceremony.
A local nonprofit, Faith-Based Substance Abuse Recovery Center, has received a large state-targeted response grant. Shepherd's Shelter, Ross Rehab, operates in the former Annie Walker Nursing Home building in Mount Sterling. Pastor Wayne Ross is the center director. He says the $167,000 grant will go a long way for helping those struggling with drug abuse in the area.
That will take you to the next step of bringing in more professional people. We'll be able to receive insurance for our payment instead of just currently we are self-pay, and we accept Unite funding and grants and any donations like any other 501c3 would do.
Ross says Shepherd Shelter does a lot of pro bono already, but there is a limit to what can be done. He says being able to accept insurance will open the door to many more in need of help.
Rowan County Senior High School will be presenting a unique take on Dracula this week. The play is a comedic take on Bram Stoker's classic and will be performed by the Rowan County Viking Thespians at the school's Performing Arts Center. Kayla Stafford is a drama teacher for RCSHS and director of the play. She says even though the play has funny moments throughout, it shouldn't be mistaken for a full-fledged comedy.
The way in which the playwright wrote it is a funnier take on Dracula, but at the same time, and I must say, and I tell my students this all the time, the characters are written to be very serious. They are seriously in danger. They are seriously scared of Count Dracula.
She says the entire play is run entirely by students, including the lights, sounds, special effects, and costume designs. The show will be performed November 7th, 8th, and 9th at 7 p.m., and November 10th at 2 and 7 p.m. Admission is $5 at the door. Opening night is free for all Rowan County students, and the community is invited.
Rowan County Public Library is starting a new trend of genealogy and history-based programs. With the popularity of genealogy sweeping across the nation, RCPL is working to satisfy local curiosity. Library Director Tim Gamp gives a glimpse of what's to come in terms of future programs.
We are looking at expanding our offerings for local history and genealogy. That, like I said, this is just the first of many. You will see many more coming up about things like DNA testing or how to use Ancestry more in depth or creating and building your family tree. And those programs are just going to start happening. We're hoping to offer at least once a month a new genealogy or local history program.
The first program will take place November 6th with a World War I class from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Participants will find an ancestor story using the library's free access to Ancestry.com. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center presenting the 34th Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 1st. A holiday tradition and open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Moorhead. More than 100 regional vendors of handmade arts and crafts, antiques, seasonal ornaments, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Part of US 23 was shut down this afternoon due to a fatal crash in Johnson County. Authorities tell WYMT a red car was making a U-turn when it collided head-on with a Pike County Sheriff's Deputy's cruiser. There were two people in the red car, and police say the driver of that car is dead. The coroner was called to the scene. Two deputies were in the cruiser, along with one inmate they were transporting. Officials have not released details about where the deputies were taking the inmate or the condition of all three people at this time. The crash happened near C&C Tax and Bookkeeping Services in Paintsville. W.R. Castle Fire Rescue asked drivers to avoid the area as crews respond to the scene this afternoon. Authorities say two vehicles collided head-on. The coroner was called to the scene, but there is no word on when the road will reopen. The names of those involved in the crash have not yet been released.
A circuit judge facing criminal charges and an official inquiry by the Judicial Conduct Commission has responded to recent ethic allegations. Circuit Judge Beth Mays presides over Bath, Montgomery, Menifee, and Rowan counties, but is on paid leave pending the results of the investigation. In mid-October, the commission alleged that Mays inappropriately tried to find out if informants in a drug investigation were the same people who provided damaging information against her ex-husband, the State Judicial Conduct Commission has charged. Her attorney, Thomas Clay, says that isn't accurate.
She was trying to avoid having the case assigned to her, then having to reassign it to the other circuit judge or vice versa. She wanted to resolve the issue of any conflicts. And there were numerous defendants on the syndicate indictments, and that they had attorneys from outside the jurisdiction. And she didn't want to be running those people all over her circuit to appear on these cases if there was going to be a conflict, and they'd have to reassign the cases to another judge.
Clay says the complaints against Mays stem from a disagreement with the Commonwealth's attorney, Ronnie Goldie. Mays is due to appear in Bath Circuit Court on December 6 for felony forgery and tampering charges.
An Ashland man is in custody after a five-hour standoff in a local neighborhood. According to WSAZ, 41-year-old Virgil Van Hoos was arrested after he allegedly took two women hostage while police were following up on an earlier incident involving the man. The standoff happened at an apartment on Harrison Street. Surrounding apartments were evacuated, but some neighbors were told to stay inside. Police also worked with Ashland Independent Schools to make sure no students were going to be dropped off in the area while the standoff was still underway. Both hostages were released unharmed. Police say they have no reason to believe Van Hoos was armed. He is currently lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center. Charges are pending.
A Maysville man will serve 20 years behind bars after he contributed to the death of his friend. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports 24-year-old Israel Grayson entered a guilty plea in March for an incident that happened in September of 2016. According to officials, Grayson conspired with others to obtain and distribute Xanax, fentanyl, and what he believed to be heroin to multiple individuals. Grayson supplied Jazlyn Dudley with those drugs on September 29th, later resulting in her death at his residence. He was arrested in August of last year and was sentenced with 240 months of prison and 10 years of supervised release in U.S. District Court on Monday. He's currently lodged in the Campbell County Detention Center, awaiting transfer to a federal facility.
The Martin County Water District is raising its rates again. WYMT reports the permanent increase will add another $3.30 for residential customers, making the average monthly bill about $55. Martin County water customers' bills have gone up by over $17 since March. The water district has had chronic problems that have left customers with deficient service or no service at all. The system will reportedly be expensive to repair. The Kentucky Public Service Commission has ordered the district to contract an outside party to operate the utility. If it fails to do so, either the Martin district will be merged with another water system or a different entity will take control.
A Hardin County man has admitted to seriously abusing his infant son. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
This is the kind of case that keeps us up at night.
Nigel Aguirre is charged with assault in the beating of his one-month-old son. Elizabethtown police officer John Thomas tells WLKY.
And what he told detectives was the child wasn't sleeping, so he hoped to cause the child to cry in order to cry himself to sleep. And this resulted in multiple brain bleeds and swelling on the brain on both sides of the brain.
The child also had blisters and bruises all over his body. Thomas says the baby is in stable yet critical condition and is expected to survive. I'm Haley Hansen.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows around 43 degrees. Wednesday overcast, highs around 53 degrees. Wednesday night, some clouds early will give way to generally clear conditions overnight, lows around 34. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon, highs around 53. And on Thursday night, cloudy skies with periods of rain after midnight, lows around 41, chance of rain at 100%, rainfall around a quarter of an inch. Taking a look at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg, 61 degrees, Inez and Ashland, 67 degrees, in Lexington and Winchester, 62 degrees, and in Moorhead, it's currently 64 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the Student Government Association at Moorhead State University held a forum last Thursday to give the inside scoop on the perks of the newly renovated and expanded Adrian Dorn University Center. WMKY's Naya Andweza was there and files this report.
ADUC has been closed for the past 2 years while the $50 million project was underway. Beginning in the spring semester of 2019, the new student center will be open 7 days a week. Officials hope to change campus culture by making ADUC the campus hangout spot. Assistant Vice President of Facilities and Operations Kim Oatman explains the new additions.
It's on the first floor. It's the bookstore. The Starbucks will be right there. An admissions welcome center, theater, then a sports pub, the technology lounge with the collaboration stations. Second floor is EDEC, Disability Services, Dean of Students, Vice President's Office, International Student Services, and the fireplace lounge. Then the third floor will be ballroom, with 11 meeting rooms, an alumni library. We talked about the heritage room.
Rooms within and space outside surrounding ADUC will be available to reserve for all student organizations. ADUC is also hiring with a wide variety of student positions available. Applications are already being accepted for anything from a building manager to a setup crew to an information desk worker. Assistant Vice President of Auxiliary Services Bill Redwine says jobs offered in ADUC could impact students' future.
I'll just add to something Russ said about some of the positions that he's trying to fill. As a student, it is a tremendous experience for you that when you graduate and you start looking for jobs and you put on your resume that you were a student manager of a 200,000 square foot facility, that's going to get some attention, particularly if you're going into event management, event planning, facilities, programming, those kind of things.
ADUC will also have new dining options available starting in January. Just like at Third Street Eats, there will be meal exchanges available for students 7 days a week. General Manager of MSU Dining Luke Holbrook says the options of restaurants ADUC will have to offer are unlike other campuses.
Meal exchange will look at Moe's, Witch, Chick-fil-A, Steak and Shake, and our pizza pasta concept. Of course, Starbucks is not included in this. Just like our current situation with Starbucks and Third Street Eats, there will not be a meal exchange program offered. It's not real different from what we have now, especially with the Chick-fil-A, for instance. The only thing we added on the Chick-fil-A front is we will be having breakfast at Chick-fil-A, so we knew there was going to be a need for a meal exchange during the breakfast.
The building will open November 12th, and officials are encouraging students to utilize the meeting spaces throughout the final weeks of the fall semester. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
It's 4:48 and 64 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Election Day afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
It's tip-off time for Moorhead State basketball. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Regular season play begins tonight for the Moorhead State University men's basketball team. The Eagles will be hosting Kentucky Christian as they get things started this year. They'll be making a quick turnaround to play UConn and Syracuse later in the week. Still, Moorhead head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys can't be getting ahead of themselves.
You know, the big thing for me is trying to make sure that they don't overlook an opponent like Kentucky Christian, thinking about, you know, UConn or Syracuse who are coming up here in just a couple of days. And so keeping our focus right here, right now, where it needs to be. And you know, we certainly keen in on opponents. We get our guys prepared for it. But at the end of the day, we want to be most concerned with ourselves and playing our best game. And tomorrow's a good opportunity to do that.
Tip-off this evening is at 6:05 in LST Johnson Arena. The University of Kentucky basketball team will be hitting the hardwood tonight as well. The number 2 Wildcats are hosting longtime rival number 4 Duke. Head coach John Calipari says he isn't sure how to answer the question, where is the team at right now? But tonight's game will be a great gauge.
This will be one where hopefully a couple guys stand out. We've had it before in these events where certain guys just went and you got to see them, but you know, we're still going at our pace. I didn't change anything and try to speed stuff up because we're playing this game. This is the pace we go. And if it's not in, then they do something we're not used to. They start switching everything or they do some crazy zone. We're not ready, then we're not ready.
Tip-off in Lexington is set for 9:30. Four of college basketball's top teams are in action tonight at the Champions Classic in Indianapolis, the season's traditional lid-lifting doubleheader. Top-ranked Kansas steps on the floor for its first regular season game of the year against number 10 Michigan State, as well as Kentucky taking on Duke. Kansas coach Bill Self isn't sure what to expect. The Jayhawks were sloppy in a pair of easy exhibition wins, and they're facing a team that will be a major upgrade over the Division II schools they beat. Even with fresh talent, the Dallas Cowboys couldn't quite pull out the win over the Titans last night. Amari Cooper made his debut with the Dallas Cowboys during Monday Night Football's 28-14 loss. Cooper finished the game with 5 catches for 58 yards total. However, Cooper tells DallasCowboys.com he was disappointed and didn't think the team made the most of their opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, when you're down there in the red area, you want to at least get a field goal. You really want to score. Field goals are kind of passive, some coaches would say, but you got to come away with something. And, you know, we left some points out there today.
The Cowboys play again Sunday when they head to Philadelphia for a matchup with the Eagles. The Cowboys will have a difficult road to the playoffs, though, after their first loss in 4 home games. They are now 3-5 after losing to the Titans, who are 4-4 after ending a 3-game losing streak last night. According to Timothy Rapp of Bleacher Report, the Detroit Lions worked out veteran wide receiver Brandon Marshall after the Seahawks released him on October 30th. Marshall appeared in 6 games for the Seahawks this season, catching 11 passes for 136 yards and a score. And also, according to Jane Slater of the NFL Network, free agent receiver Dez Bryant is set to work out for the Saints today. The Cowboys released Bryant back in April. Bryant completed last season with 69 catches for 838 yards and 6 touchdowns. Wake Forest will start redshirt sophomore Jamie Newman at quarterback this week against number 22 North Carolina State. Newman was listed as the starter on the team's depth charts released today, 2 days before game day. He replaces Sam Hartman, a freshman who started the first 9 games before suffering a season-ending leg injury late in last week's 41-24 loss to number 13 Syracuse. Number 5 Georgia is focused on Auburn after locking up a spot in the SEC championship game. The Bulldogs face Auburn this Saturday in the 122nd meeting between the Deep South's oldest rivals. And LSU coach Ed Orgeron says he needs to be at his best as he tries to help the Tigers recover from a big loss to number 2 Alabama. He was critical of players on the offensive and defensive lines after Saturday night's 29-0 shutout, but the coach is backing off of those statements to some extent. Now, he still says those position groups need to improve, but he adds that coaching has a lot to do with that. OVC nods continue to roll in for members of Morehead State's volleyball team. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has more.
For the third time this season, Morehead State Volleyball's redshirt sophomore setter Chandler Clark has been named Ohio Valley Conference Setter of the Week. By claiming her third award of the season, she ties sophomore outside hitter Olivia Lohmeyer for the most OVC weekly award wins this season. In a pair of matches with in-state rivals Eastern Kentucky and Murray State, Clark dished out a league-leading 97 total assists. With her fourth assist versus Murray State, she surpassed 1,000 assists on the year, becoming the first Morehead State setter to hit the millennium mark since 2013. Clark also passed out 12.12 helpers per set, pacing the conference in the category by 1.45 assists per set. Clark has passed out 1,055 assists on the season, the most since Colby Cameron dished out 1,188 helpers during the 2013 season. Clark's total ranks 28th in the NCAA while standing as third best in the OVC. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And lastly in sports, one of horse racing's most colorful voices will be calling out races in Kentucky next year. Michael Rona has been named track announcer for the live race meet at Kentucky Downs in Franklin. The Australian-born Rona is the voice of Santa Anita Park in California. Here's audio from a race held there this year.
McKenzie on the inside and Baltoro in a spine-tingling spectacle at the Great Race Place. Baltoro, McKenzie, they hit the line, McKenzie!
Kentucky Downs' five-day meet is in late August and early September. Its run is over North America's only European-style turf course. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilton Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football will have a senior celebration for their final home game of the season, hosting Drake on Saturday, November 17th. Kickoff is 1:05 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as investors eagerly awaited the results of much-anticipated midterm elections, which could have significant implications for investors. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 173.31 at 25,635.01. The S&P 500 was up 17.14 at 2755.45. And the NASDAQ Composite showed a gain of 47.11 at 7375.96. Democrats are expected to take control of the House away from Republicans, while the GOP maintains a slim majority in the Senate. Stocks have historically done well under a divided government. Since 1928, the S&P 500 has averaged an annual return of 12% when Congress is split and Republicans control the White House. In earnings news today, Symantec, or I should say Mylan, was up 16% on better-than-expected earnings for the third quarter. Also, Broadridge Financial was down almost 10% as their earnings for the third quarter came up short of expectations. And Symantec was a big winner today, finishing up 12.5% on a report that the company is a takeover target. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.5% at $62.15 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,227.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were slightly down today, the Stock 600 index finishing down 0.25%. In Asia, stocks were mixed as the Nikkei was up 1.18%, and the Shanghai Composite was down 0.25%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were IBM and Caterpillar, while the worst performers were Nike and Pfizer. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Mylan and Symantec, while the worst performers were Nektar Therapeutics and Broadridge Financial. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Lowe's up 43 cents at $97.50, Marathon Petroleum down $1.39 at $68.37, Community Trust up 31 cents at $45.90, Kroger up 21 cents at $30.82, Humana up $5.26 at $331.87, and CSX was up $1.28 to finish at $70.37. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Moorhead and Mount Sterling. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
Taking a look at the weather tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows around 43 degrees. Wednesday overcast, highs around 53 degrees. Wednesday night, some clouds early will give way to generally clear conditions overnight, lows around 34 degrees. Thursday, a mix of clouds and sun in the morning, followed by cloudy skies during the afternoon, highs around 53.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Peyton Stewart, Kenzie Thompson, Cody Robinson, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilton Johnson. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Naya Endweza. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.